Throughout the history of creation, there have been two movements, one from God toward God's creation and the other from creation back to God. It is the nature of God to offer himself. So the three persons in the Trinity are offering themselves unreservedly all the time to the other two. That's who God is. And so when God speaks and begins creation, that revelation of who God is in God's interior being gets sent out into the, and it becomes the universe. And that universe, every particle of it, reflects God, looks back to its creator, worships God in its own way, and that's very limited, of course. And then humanity comes on the scene, and humanity, with intelligence, with soul, with free will, is able to, in a more verbal way, look back to God, praise and thank God for being created, and reflect God's glory. So there's that movement from God and return to God, the gift and the response to the gift. And the Old Testament describes in one nation, but you know, this has been going on in the cosmos, but we have the story of one people, the Jews. And God reaches out to them in compassion and sympathy for their distress in Egypt and rescues them. And we heard that story in our first reading, reiterating that. All throughout the Old Testament, that story gets told over and over again and commented on, because that's the overarching story of salvation, that God cares about people, and particularly those in distress. And so then he leads them into their own land, and he espouses them, he marries them, and he gives them kings, and he gives them the Davidic line. And these readings, they speak of two deep longings that are in the human heart and within the human cultures. And the first one is for a kingship, a kingdom. And so all throughout the Old Testament, there's this reminder that David's line will last forever. Not just a kingdom, but a kingdom of justice and truth and light, a kingdom of fairness, a good king. We all know there are bad kings too, but this is the dream of a good king who will act justly and rightly toward his subjects. And so David is seen in the Old Testament as that person, specially selected by God, formed by God for that purpose. And his kingdom was supposed to last forever. And so that deep longing is built into our story. And the prophets began to predict that that Davidic line would be restored. It had fallen apart, and the nation of Israel got exiled, and things all fell apart. But the prophets began to predict with a certain hope that there would be a restoration of the Davidic line, and we would get back to that kind of justice again, and then some. And so the New Testament authors, they look at that story and they see Jesus as the fulfillment of that. The other deep human longing is the longing for intimacy, for marriage. And so this is another story that's woven through the Old Testament. God not only leads them into their own land, but he forms them as his own people, and he falls in love with them and he marries them. And so Israel is the wife, the spouse of God. And it's a wonderful story, except there's a problem. Israel is unfaithful. Time and again, she goes after other princes and kings. She goes after other allurements. She even becomes a harlot. And God, in the story, faithfully takes her back every time. His patience never seems to wear out. But on her part, her ability to see herself in a good light wanes. After you're unfaithful and unable to keep a commitment for that long, you lose heart. You lose the confidence that you could ever be good. And so God sends a Savior to rescue them from that darkness. And so in Mary, you see the perfect human response to that gift of God. She says, yes, I am your maidservant. I don't understand this. It's a mystery to me, but I'm your maidservant. Do with me as you will. Yes. And that perfect human response meets the perfect gift of God, and the fruit of that is Jesus. So you get the fulfillment of the Davidic line, the restoration of a just kingdom, but you also get a real, lasting marriage. And so the church loves that image. Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. Mary, the mother of the church, she initiates that, but the church follows in suit. Now, we're kind of like Israel. We've been imperfect over the last 2,000 years. And sometimes we lose sight of the goal. Sometimes we lose our self-image. We wonder if we're ever going to be able to get it right. We get discouraged. We lose hope. And so the church's liturgy does this every Sunday. But at the Christmas season, there's a particular emphasis here. And that is a looking back to the story. Every year we retell the story of Christmas. Is there anything new we're hearing here tonight? No, it's the old story. We all know that. We could almost recite that gospel by heart. But there's something ever new about it too, because it's being proclaimed tonight in Manhattan, Kansas, in this Mass, in this community. And so it's ever new. But we not only look back in the liturgy and in the story, we also look forward. So Mary is already 2,000 years ago a foreshadowing of the way we're all going to be. Because after time is complete, in the fullness of the kingdom, we'll all be Marys. We'll all say yes unreservedly. We'll all be as faithful as Mary. And we will be married with an intimacy with God that we can only imagine now. And the fruit of that will be the same thing that was in Jesus, the fullness of God and the fullness of a human person perfectly united in one body. That's future. We can barely even imagine that. But we need to hear this story and celebrate this mystery over and over again so we don't lose hope, so we don't lose sight of the fact that we are God's people, that we are the spouse of Christ, that we are empowered by grace to become his body, that it isn't entirely up to us. Sometimes we concentrate on the return and we're not doing a good enough job at reflecting God. But we have to remember that all that time, despite our weakness, God is coming toward us too. And God's love is more powerful than our weakness. God's plan for us is going to win out despite sin. This is not a tragedy, it's a comedy. Comedies end well. This is going to be a happily ever after kind of story. So let's not lose sight of that. One of the reasons we do Christmas every year is to remind ourselves that God is with us, Emmanuel. And God is on our side. And God's love will out.